The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. I can't find my co-producer Jeff Chrysler this week. The word is he's shipped out for the Mideast, hoping to get a job with ISIS as the warm-up comedian for their videos. Nonetheless, we have an idiocy-packed show for you this week, with far-ranging satirical jibes and japes about the dire situation over at McDonald's, who are having their worst year in decades. Hey, how's about an Egg McMuffin? That wacky fun guy Bibi Netanyahu and his wacky fun idea for all the world's Jews to emigrate to Israel. There's a DIY Ash Wednesday. Justice Ginsburg's new sleep aid for those with a sleepy constitution. Tough talk about women and minorities, passive-aggressive theatre, and speaking of that, one last lingering look at the lamest bunch of deadbeat movies ever to be nominated for Oscars since last year. All this and so much less on the Final Edition Radio Hour. Good luck over there, Jeff. Break a leg or two.
We take you to the strategy room of the Republican Party.
Okay, we got the energy bill back. The Koch brothers have notes.
So they still like us.
Yeah. Any other new business?
We've got to figure out a 2016 presidential strategy.
You mean who's the candidate?
Well, yeah. And what exactly does the Republican Party actually stand for now?
The party platform. Right. We could write one of those.
Well, I know one thing for sure. We're the opposite of whatever Barack Obama is.
Yeah!
He wants health care for everyone, so we want health care for no one.
Yeah!
He doesn't like Putin or Netanyahu, so we take sides with Putin and Netanyahu.
Though it's technically treason!
Yeah!
He recommends vaccines, so we're anti-vaccines.
How about a more positive spin?
We're pro-measles.
Yeah!
Hey, guys, I just had a thought. At this point, everybody knows we just disagree with Obama no matter what, and Obama knows it, so what if he's just doing reasonable things so we do the opposite of reasonable?
Wow, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
We gotta do the opposite of that.
Yeah!
All right, what's the dumbest ad we can run?
America. Defend your right to start a car with the garage door closed.
Stick your tongue on a freezer coil. Vote Republican!
Interrupt Beck's Grammy speech. Freedom isn't free.
Yeah!
The state of Oklahoma may ban advanced placement history classes in high school because those classes are not patriotic enough. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
I don't want no AP... anus penis history.
Leave AP history alone. Leave him alone.
I really don't have a problem with them teaching AP history. It's one of my favorite grocery stores.
I got no teeth.
You mean to tell me that anybody from Oklahoma is going to college?
We should help AP students in Oklahoma. Those are the ones who are trying to get out.
Not teaching AP history in Oklahoma is okay by me.
You know, I'm from Oklahoma, and I'm all for AP history in this state, you see? But we need more important things, like more geography, because too many people don't know how to get here. Now, you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is mighty pretty, but you see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, and Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Once you get hip to this timely tip, when you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66.
In the face of recent anti-Semitic terrorism, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has called for a mass immigration of Jews to come to Israel. So we at the Final Edition Radio Hour, or at least those of us who are members of the tribe, wonder just how American Jews would handle the lifestyle in Israel.
Hello, ladies. I am Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. and I welcome to Jewish State of Israel, otherwise known as the Land of Milk and Honey.
Milk and honey? That's like a million calories.
Oh my God, are we gonna get fat here?
Don't worry, you'll be doing enough physical labor in the military that you will not gain any weight.
Yeah, about that, we don't really do army.
Yeah, where we come from, the army is for lower middle class white men with abusive stepfathers.
Plus, we're like really anti-guns.
But a major part of being an Israeli citizen is joining the military.
Can't we just hire someone to do it for us?
Speaking of which, I don't see a lot of Mexicans around here, so who exactly do we hire?
Jews simply hire other Jews in Israel.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Unless the lighter Ashkenazis hire the darker Sephardics?
Oh my God, yeah, that makes total sense. But wait, where do Arabs fit in the picture?
Basically, if you see an Arab, you run.
Oh, so it's like seeing a black person in Beverly Hills.
Exactly. Except Arabs are less on rape and robbery and more on stabbing and bombing.
Yeah, I've always wondered why that is.
Duh. It's because Arabs have small dicks and guys with small dicks just don't rape.
Which is why there is a zero rape occurrence in Israel's military.
Tired of being told what to do to your children? Government overreach making you crazy? Think Common Core curriculum is the teachings of the devil in disguise? Then the Libertarian Scholastic Academy is the right choice for your child.
I believe the vaccines cause autism and liberal thinking, just like science expert Jenny McCarthy.
Then trot your little plague-ridden rugrat over to our school.
I want my four-year-old son to have access to guns in the classroom because it's his Second Amendment right, damn it.
Right you are, sir. That's why you'll love our little tactical toddlers classes. A gun for every girl and boy is guaranteed.
I don't want to have to pay for any of this through taxes, because I'm a sovereign citizen.
No worries there, Patriot. Technically, we're a 501c corporation, and therefore, others will pay for us.
I fear anything unfamiliar or intellectually challenging, and I scare easily, and have taught my children to feel the same way.
Put your fears to rest, sir. With our Bible-based science classes, your child will be spared any real education about science and culture. We teach that the Earth is a mere 6,000 years old, and just take a look at our beautifully illustrated textbooks.
Is that our Lord and Savior riding a dinosaur?
Right down the gangplank of Noah's Ark, my friend. So leave the left-wing liberals and their indoctrination of hope and change behind and enroll your precious little ones in the Libertarian Scholastic Academy today.
Paid for by your tax dollars, whether you want it or not, but not subject to any standards or accountability.
America. Throw a brick off a highway overpass. Appear naked on YouTube, then read the comments. Bring back polio. When police ask you for identification, show them a condom. Marry a stripper named Poison, then take her camping. Strippers named Poison love camping. Get a McDonald's menu tattooed on your face. Freedom isn't free. Jeb Bush, 2016.
It's Oscar time! The usual roster of second and third rate flicks has been rolled out for us to endlessly discuss and pretend for a few weeks we can't live without. It's just like democracy, having to choose between people rigorously pre-selected for us who couldn't give a shit about us and vice versa. There's the British World War II plus a gay guy flick.
Everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable.
Let me try and we'll know for sure.
The 19 minutes of beige mayhem proving Iraq was morally okay flick.
Would you be surprised if I told you that the Navy has credited you with over 160 kills?
The unappealing fucked up white woman reclaiming her identity on her heroic own flick.
I'm sorry you have to walk 1,000 miles just to...
Finish that sentence. Why do I have to walk 1,000 miles?
The saintly black people being beaten to a pulp by white thugs, which in certain markets may not have the intended reaction flick.
What I need to know right now, what's Martin Luther King about to do next?
Yet another Jesus who fucking cares, harrowing problems of a washed-up actor flick.
We had it all. You were a movie star, remember?
The Tug the Senile Academy Voters Infarcted Hearts Till They Weep Salt Tears Terminal Disease flick.
I am struggling to stay connected to who I once was.
The marital woes of mathematics genius with occasional shots of blackboards full of incomprehensible equations that encompass the entire raison d'etre of his life flick.
Well, there is life, there is hope.
And The Hobbit.
You've won the mountain, is that not enough?
No. We defend it.
The fucking Hobbit. Again. And now, the nominations, please.
Here are 2015's top forgettable formulaic flicks, which could win the increasingly inane phallic statuette. Wild. Yes, Cheryl Strayed has found herself and come to terms with her limitations. But uh-oh, it looks like misogynist psychopath and American sniper Chris Kyle has drawn a bead on her. Ah! Amazing, from 2,000 meters, right between the eyes. Selma. And so, against all the odds, Dr. King and his courageous compatriots lead his people towards the dawn of a new future. But this can't be happening. Way over there, up in a cherry tree, is dyed-in-the-wool Texas bigot and big fan of sniper James Earl Ray, Chris Kyle! Oh, no. Bummer. After all that nonviolence, too. Still Alice. Touchingly, Alice Howland's family accepts the inevitable as their mother and wife turns invisible in her own skin. But what is serial executioner Chris Kyle, who hates lefty eggheads even more than brown people, doing in Alice's yard? What the hey? I guess she was already a vegetable. The Imitation Game. Rejected and dejected, Alan Turing, Churchill's right-hand man and father of a technology that transformed the world, decides to end it all. Thus cheating, psychotic homophobe Chris Kyle, who hates gays even more than he does lefty eggheads, so he makes sure that frickin' pervert is dead. But what's this? The cinematic scene of American Sniper that Clint Eastwood left on the cutting room floor. Eddie Ray Ralph, an Iraq veteran with PTSD, who's at the Rough Creek Lodge shooting range in Texas with Chris Kyle, shoots Chris dead. A lot. Which leaves The Hobbit. The fucking Hobbit. There you have it, folks. For the first time in the history of the Oscars, no winners. Everyone loses. Except us.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
And now it's time for passive-aggressive theater. Great movie moments reinterpreted for people who are incredibly hostile but don't like confrontation. And now, Episode 1, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, for the passive-aggressive.
Señor, we are Federales. You know, the mounted police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We don't have no badges. And you know what? That's our bad. I mean, you have every right to want to see our badges. Totally our fault for forgetting the badges. Julio, the man wants to see our badges.
Of course he wants to see badges. He's being totally reasonable demanding to see badges.
Okay, you guys, I get it.
Oh, no, you have no idea how sorry we are to have ruined your big badge inspection fiesta. We apologize for being badgeless idiots.
My God, you're annoying. Look, if this is about the gold, just take it. You're driving me up a wall.
Really? Are you sure? I don't understand why you're so angry.
This has been Passive Aggressive Theater doing Treasure of the Sierra Madre. If you didn't like it, well, that's on us. McDonald's, the world's largest restaurant chain, just replaced its CEO following the worst United States sales slump in many, many years. The Final Edition, longtime aficionados of the legendary McDonald's menu,
I'm loving it!
asked our Comestibles correspondent Dickie Duncan to get to the bottom of the slump.
Dan Vitale is McDonald's worldwide CFO, Chief Food Officer. I reached out to him in their flagship franchise in Times Square, New York, to find out what the problem is. Mr. Vitale, an honor.
Whatever.
What's behind this catastrophic slump in munching at McDonald's?
It's because when you cut all the global branding bullshit, everything we serve tastes so fucking disgusting.
You sure it's that simple, Dan? Isn't the reason the rise of fast casual chains like Shake Shack, Chipotle, Panera, Five Guys?
Forget about it. Those guys are minnows. Big Macs are fucking disgusting. Happy Meals are fucking disgusting. McDonald's French fries are fucking disgusting, etc. ad nauseum. That's Latin for Ralphin.
I'm loving it!
Wall Street analysts say this disastrous falloff in customers is because of mismanagement at the top. They point to the recent firing of McDonald's CEO Don Simpson and his replacement by a branding specialist.
Branding? What are you on? Branding won't change the fucking food. A new chief executive officer won't change the fucking food. I'm chief food officer. I'd rather eat a Chipotle burrito regurgitated by a syphilitic sewer rat than a fucking McRib. Gabish? Deep fried dog turds taste better.
But surely, Dan, McDonald's has dealt with slumps before. For example, by pivoting to fresher, healthier, locally sourced ingredients.
Oh, we did that already. Makes no diff. You could put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a fucking pig. Locally sourced chicken McNuggets still taste worse than the diarrhea droppings of what you get when you cross a cancerous vampire bat with a septic tank. Heritage sausage cage-free egg McGluten-free muffin still tastes like a homeless guy's sneaker on a urinal mint. I wouldn't feed a premium bacon ranch salad to Adolf Hitler. Know why? Zero bacon. Whole lot of ranch. As in what you scrape off of the floor of a cattle pen. Disgraziato. That's Italian for Ralphin. I'd rather eat raw Ebola.
I'm loving it!
Well, thanks, Dan Vitale, McDonald's Global Chief Food Officer, for that comprehensive tour of Golden Arches products' taste profiles.
America, you deserve a break today. Find some raw sewage. Sink your teeth into it. You'd be better off.
Dad, do we have to do this?
Of course. It's Ash Wednesday, for Christ's sake. Just because there's a blizzard outside doesn't mean we're not getting our ashes.
Why do we have to use fireplace ashes?
It's all the same in God's eyes. Would you rather we use the ashes from Grandma's urn?
No.
Then shut up and get over here.
Dad, you're not a priest.
I'm wearing a green chasuble, aren't I?
It's just a robe you stole from a Holiday Inn.
It was complimentary. Look, this is my favorite holy day. It's about repentance and being better Catholics. Please take this a little more seriously. Susie, have you finished your Blood of Christ?
No, it's just a bottle of Boone's Farm, Dad.
Why can't we just go to church tomorrow?
Because then it wouldn't be Ash Wednesday. It would be Ash Thursday. That doesn't make any sense. Both of you, get over here and receive your ashes.
Fine.
Hold still. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Ugh.
Hold still. From ashes you came, and so too shall your ashes return. Wait, did I say that right?
They're getting in my mouth.
I think I said it wrong. Hold on.
I have ash all over my face, Dad.
Weren't you supposed to mix it with holy water first?
Oh, right. Let me squirt you with this Evian spray.
It's running down my face.
No talking during the ashing. Remember, from ashes you came, and to ashes you shall return. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Jesus, we look like coal miners.
This is disgusting. I'm washing this off.
You can't wash it off. You have to let it go away on its own. Otherwise, it won't count in the eyes of God.
Whatever. I'm out of here.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Dad.
Where are you going? Who's going to ash me?
Ash yourself.
Fine. Terrible Catholic, ungrateful little rats. I'll ash my own face. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. I should have been a priest.
I am Miss Neptune, and I have a psychic gift. I am able to see which celebrity is supposed to be your best friend. Maybe you should be hanging out with Katherine Heigl, or you're supposed to marry Orlando Bloom. Millions of people should be stalking a celebrity, but just don't know which one. So call me. In one $50 session, I can tell you which celebrity would complete your life, if only they would answer your letters.
Miss Neptune said I ought to be married to Kathy Griffin. It's not who I would have picked, but...
I always felt like Mark Ruffalo and I should be friends, so I asked Miss Neptune if Mark Ruffalo and I should be friends. And she said, yes, you and Mark Ruffalo should definitely be friends.
There's a great big celebrity-sized hole in your life, and only I can fill it. So call today.
Hello, and welcome to Liars on Lying. I'm your host, Pinocchio.
And I'm your co-host, Richard Nixon. Someday, Pinocchio, you're gonna be a real newscaster.
Oh, please, Dick. May I call you Trickster? I'm just your ordinary, tall-tale-telling prevaricator.
Look, your damn fool nose just grew 6 inches. You were lying about lying.
What else is new? And Frost Nixon, you said Watergate wasn't much to worry about.
That wasn't me. That was the director. The one who looks like Howdy Doody. It was E. Howard Hunt.
It was Ron Howard.
Are you calling me a liar?
Are you calling me one?
Stop it!
Stop it.
Stop copying me!
Stop copying me.
Excuse me, is this a show about liars?
Oh, what do you know? It's John Lovitz. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the ticket. There are so many liars in here, it makes me want to kill myself. I did kill myself. Then I went to Vietnam and got killed 3 more times.
Get out of here, lie boy!
Really? Maybe you'd like to tell it to my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
If I may say something here?
It's the king of all liars, Brian Williams.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, you're too kind. You know, I just came off of a helicopter.
Do you remember which one?
The first one. The second one? What's the difference? I'll just misremember anyway.
Is misremembering the same thing as lying?
Well, is getting your ass eaten out the same thing as analingus?
It is if your daughter's Allison Williams on A Very Special Girls.
You just told the truth, Nixon. I did too. Look, my nose shrunk.
Well, here comes somebody whose chances never shrink.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I'm not running for anything.
One of our regulars. You've been lying for years.
Almost as much as Nixon.
You know who's ready for Hillary? My wife, Morgan Fairchild.
That's all the time we have for today. And you, Brian Williams, that's all the time you have for your career.
Oh, I'll do better. I promise.
Look, Woodboy, Brian Williams' nose grew clean out the window.
Let's hope it doesn't hit a helicopter or the one in back of it.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Wow.
Man, unbelievable.
And now, Jim Earl reads another tasteless obituary of a real dead person.
Melvin Gordon, CEO of Tootsie Roll. Melvin Gordon, chief executive of Tootsie Roll Industries, is dead after more than a half century spent desperately trying to pass a sticky brown log that refused to melt even during the hot summer months. Shocked family members say they discovered his iconic oblong-shaped body stuck to a five-year-old's retainer. The first Tootsie Roll was produced way back in 1896 by Brooklyn inventor Leo Hirschfeld. 25 years later, he committed suicide by shooting himself in the stomach. In 1988, Tootsie Roll became the world's largest maker of lollipops, branching out with such popular candies as Sugar Daddy, Junior Mints, Double Bubble, Wacko Wax, Junior Daddy, Wacko Bubble, Double Mints Daddy Wax, Masonic Diddy Dots, Razzle's Chocolate-Covered Fur Nips, and Crunchy Caramel Dingleberry Daddy Duds with Zinc. The Tootsie Roll Company now produces 64 million Tootsie Rolls a day. Experts calculate that if every Tootsie Roll ever produced were placed end-to-end, it could be the setup to a good joke. Confectioners agree the most famous Tootsie Roll ad, "How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?" may never be answered. But perhaps the most pertinent question facing science today is why it always tastes like a cardboard anus. The real answer to the lick question, the company writes on its website, quote, depends on a variety of factors such as the size of your mouth, the amount of saliva, and how much of your pancreas is still working. Gordon asked that his body parts be individually wrapped and twisted at each end.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon, a trip down Mammary Lane, featuring Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Christopher Guest and Richard Belzer before they were famous, and as a bonus, Michael O'Donoghue at his most insane.
Pictures on the radio.
Why did they send you here?
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
You do have a by silly putty.
Practice yoga on the ground or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
Lunchtime.
You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all. Just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
Tell it to the Bugle Corps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're smoking reefer on the radio while we're really eating cookies and you never know.
We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So tell them what you look like on the radio. Because if they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you act me.
Because they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Yeah.
R-A-D-I-O.
Not television.
R-A-D-I-O.
Wearing blenders.
R-A-D-I-O.
Or vacuum cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O.
You get the picture?
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Marconi.
Mr. Brando, I understand that you refused your Academy Award because of your sympathy with the Indians. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And most of your energies are now devoted to helping the Indians, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I spend most of my time now.
Well, now, could you tell us why you believe in expending so much of your efforts in aiding the Indian cause?
Well, for one thing, because of the way the Indians have been treated in this country. I mean, you go out to the reservation and you see how they live. They live like pigs. You know, I mean, because it's the only way they can live. It's the only way the government will let them live. That's one of the reasons. Of course, there are other reasons.
What are some of the other reasons, Mr. Brando?
Dark meat. Boy, I love that stuff.
Beg your pardon?
Dark meat. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brando. Are you inferring that the...
Those Indian squaws, boy. They look like bunnies. Boy, you get one of them squaws and they'll get the shit out of you. You know what I tell them to do? I tell them to take these two fingers and cut the fingernails off and just stick them up my ass. And I tell them to fuck a pig and to eat its vomit. God, I love that.
A little Miss Muffin, she sat on the tuffin. She wasn't eating her curves. She wasn't eating her way. She wasn't eating her way into my heart. Along came a spider. You know it sat down beside her. Can't it frighten Miss Muffin? Yes, he did. Miss Muffin away. Miss Muffin's found a way into my heart. Oh, Miss Muffin, oh, Lord, why don't you show me the way? It's not nice to know, I pray to heaven. And here's what I say. Ow! A little Miss Muffin, keep on keeping on your toughness. Eat your curds. Got to eat your way. Have mercy. Eat your way into my heart.
You know, Ed Sullivan, we kid him a lot, but Ed Sullivan is one of the greats of this business. And in the cab on the way over to the studio tonight, I had a funny thought. What if Ed Sullivan were tortured? And when I say tortured, what I mean is, what if steel needles, say 6 inches long, were plunged into Ed's eyes? I think it would go something like this.
Canada, and right back out again with nothing to declare. Banff, Alberta. And here in Western Canada's unspoiled Rocky Mountain playground, members of the sinister Canadian Nazi Party meet in their annual rally. The strutting beige shirts gather to stage a book burning of Canadian authors' works, but call off their plans when not enough books can be found to start a fire. Would-be burners of possible books, the sinister Canadian Nazi Party, meeting in Banff, Alberta. Moose Factory. And blood stains the snow in this isolated subarctic community as Royal Canadian Mounties battle Eskimos after being sent to repossess an iron lung. Softened by lush living off the profits of their soap carvings, Moose Factory's Eskimo tribe had gone on an iron lung shopping spree. This tubercular 98-year-old Eskimo woman is dragged from her iron lung and out into the cold where she belongs. As husky dogs bark and a finance company representative adds up interest charges. Royal Canadian Mounties doing their duty as always in the blood-stained northern tundra. Ottawa. A moving spectacle unfolds in the Senate of the Canadian Parliament as attendants remove the venerable 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby from the bench where he had sat undetected for the past 35 years. Listed as dead in Senate records, the grand old man of Canadian Parliament was discovered during the current recess by a cleaning lady. All Parliament Hill applauds the 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby on his way to the ambulance. Canada's own Rip Van Winkle, found fast asleep in the Senate. Toronto, and 25 of Canada's greatest pro hockey stars arrived to match wits against retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Thousands of eager Torontonians strained to catch a glimpse of their favorite players, and it's Stanley Cup tension as competition gets underway. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone newsreel camera catches the concentration on the faces of the contestants and the disappointment as all 25 of Canada's greatest pro hockey stars lose out in the qualifying rounds. Little Jimmy is a happy mongoloid and a champion speller. Pro hockey stars lose out to retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Truro, Nova Scotia, and Canadian Department of Transport icebreakers prepare to embark on another vital mission to try and find the province of Newfoundland, missing in the fog-shrouded Atlantic wastes for more than 15 years. Previous expeditions have had to turn back empty-handed, but hope runs high that this time, Canada's 10th and newest province will be located at last. Rescue ships setting to sea in search of the missing province of Newfoundland. Kamloops, British Columbia, and the Lord Tweedsmuir Games, featuring North America's third largest indoor checkers tournament, are interrupted by the appearance of a strange furry creature known in legend as the Sasquatch Monster. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone newsreel camera catches a fleeting glimpse of the half-human, half-animal beast as children run and dogs bark hysterically. But order is quickly restored as officials discover that the Sasquatch Monster is only Miss Kamloops for 1974. A happy ending to a moment of panic at the Lord Tweedsmuir Games in Kamloops, British Columbia. The Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel marches through customs into Canada and right back out again with nothing to declare.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour is proud to present the sensational comedy of Dr. Andrew Tillman, cardiologist.
Take that Hippocratic oath, please. I would have taken it myself, but I'm no hypocrite. Moving right along, I want to tell you, students, that a funny thing happened to me on my way to the operating table. A nurse came up to me and said, "Doctor, how many sutures are we going to need for this operation?" I said, "Nurse, suit yourself. Now take my patient, please." He told me that he was very frightened because this was his first operation. I told him I know just how he feels because it's my first operation, too. But seriously, students, this patient may not have been born in this hospital, but he sure is dying here. No kidding, though. Before this operation is over, if I don't run out of patients, I'll have him in stitches.
We close our broadcasting day, as usual, with Nat Lamp Unto My Feet. Tonight's inspirational message will be delivered by the Reverend Otto A. Brown.
In these troubled times, when problems like political corruption, unemployment, mental illness, racial strife, and the breakup of the family seem to be ever on the increase, when one war is no sooner ended than another begins in some other part of the globe, when sometimes we get up in the morning and feel that we look out on a sea of hate which threatens to engulf everything worth saving in this tired old world of ours, in times like these, it is more important than ever that we prepare a place in our hearts where the peace and loving kindness of our Savior can enter in. Love thy neighbor, Jesus said. And we know that he meant by that not just the fellow who lives literally next door to you, but all our neighbors all around the world, whether they're black, white, or yellow, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, long hair or short hair. For how are we going to achieve the happiness and prosperity we're all striving for if we turn against one another with hate instead of love in our hearts? If we are going to preserve any hope for lasting peace in the world, we must learn to live in harmony with all races, colors, and creeds, whether Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Communist, Atheist, Hindu, all except the Jews. Because, let's face it, the Jews killed Christ. They killed him just the same as if they had murdered him, and we can never forgive them for it. And now, thanking you for listening, this is the Reverend Otto A. Brown saying, God bless you, and good night.
Yes, I am. I'm your methadone maintenance man. Your methadone maintenance man, yeah. La 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 la. One of these days I'm gonna spit this scene. Won't need no dope and no soap. I'll be Mr. Clean.
This is Tony Hendra. We'll be back after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Welcome back to Passive Aggressive Theater. Great cinematic moments reinterpreted for hostile people who avoid confrontation. And now, Episode 2, A Few Good Men for the Passive Aggressive.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
Colonel, you don't have to answer the question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
Do you want answers?
I want the truth!
Absolutely, you deserve the truth. And I'm getting to it right now, as we speak. Yes, sirree boy. Truth coming up. You'll get no problem from me. You want answers? That's what I'm here for. No dilly-dallying around.
Well, you're not...
I'm getting you answers. Big old truth delivery. And it's got your name on it. And I just know that you're gonna handle the truth, well, like a pro, because that's what you do. I'm just the guy who gets the truth. You're the man.
You know what? Forget it. I withdraw the question.
No, please. I want to do this.
Oh, for Christ's sake! Case dismissed. Jesus!
What? Because of me? I was doing what you wanted.
This has been Passive Aggressive Theater doing A Few Good Men. Totally for you.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg admitted this week that she was not 100% sober when she dozed off during the State of the Union address this year. She had had one whole glass of wine.
Trouble sleeping? Tired of being tired?
Uh-huh.
Did you know that there's a simple and effective insomnia medication that can help?
America, for all that we have endured, know this. The shadow of crisis has passed. And the State of the Union is strong.
A glass of fine wine and the State of the Union address is a safe and powerful sleep aid that lasts for at least half an hour or until a passing high court judge pokes you in the ribs.
Sounds great. Tell me more.
More of our kids are graduating than ever before.
A glass of wine and the State of the Union address is guaranteed to help you get the peaceful sleep you need.
More of our people are insured than ever before.
And miss out on boring speeches you don't need to listen to.
We are as free from the grip of foreign oil as we've been in almost 30 years.
Wow! Exactly. 100% natural. 100% effective. Who needs to learn about the condition of the nation, the legislation agenda, and other national priorities when you could be getting some quality shut-eye? But don't just take my word for it.
As a Supreme Court justice, it's important for me to be awake and alert. A glass of fine wine and the State of the Union address helps me get refreshing rest so that I'm ready for any after party with a spring in my step.
I love an after party.
Exactly. Everyone loves an after party.
Middle class economics works.
Do not take a glass of fine wine and the State of the Union address if you are allergic to missing out on important ideas, having informed discussions, or learning about new laws you might have to implement one day. A glass of fine wine and the State of the Union address can induce fatal narcolepsy if used with other sleep medications, such as whiskey NyQuil on the rocks, or listening to John Boehner at a dinner party. Side effects can include ignorance, embarrassment, and unintentional YouTube celebrity.
We can't slow down businesses or put our economy at risk with government shutdowns or fiscal showdowns.
A glass of wine and the State of the Union address. Get the sweet, deep rest you need, and let the most important political speech of the year just drift away.
When what you're doing doesn't work for 50 years, it's time to try something new.
Welcome back to Haywood Public Radio. This week, Sweden devalued its dollar and NASA may have detected signs of water on Mars. Today we're asking, what do these stories mean to women and minorities? Joining me now is Nanook Hershowitz, host of our network's oldest show, All Up Inuit Your Face. Nanook, welcome.
Great to be here.
I guess you're qualified to speak on the topic of minorities because you yourself are half Jewish and half Eskimo.
Well, that's correct. My show is about the issues affecting the half Jewish, half Eskimo population.
And congratulations for keeping that going for 16 long years. What are some of the issues you explore about being half Jewish, half Eskimo?
Well, we can rub noses from across the street.
Interesting point.
My igloo has condo fees.
I would imagine.
When we trade wives, I get nagged by a different person.
Fascinating.
It's rough, I tell you.
And what's your take about water on Mars and people who are half Jewish, half Eskimo?
Well, when you think about water on Mars, we've got half Jewish, half Eskimo people right here on Earth.
Yeah.
About 30 of us.
Also joining me is Sharon Caleb, who is female. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, Ron.
Sharon, the Swedish dollar is the subject of some controversy. What about women?
Well, I find it strange that the Swedes devalued the dollar without addressing gender at all. Women are half the world's population, including half the people who spend Swedish money.
Which raises another question for both of you. A new study shows that inflammatory bowel disease can be cured with fecal transplant. What does this say about the status of women and people of color?
Well, you wouldn't know it to read the story, but half the fecal material in the world is produced by women.
Slightly more than half.
Yes.
Nanook, your thoughts?
Well, I'm half Jewish and half Eskimo, so I tried dog sledding with a schnauzer.
Excellent points from both of you, and thank you both for joining me on the show today. Coming up, the NFL may change its rules on eligibility. What about autism?
Okay, Eric, listen up. Have I got a pitch for you? An action thriller that's gonna blow your goddamn mind.
Okay, Greg, I'm listening.
Here we go, then. Billion Dollar Heist.
Liking it so far.
It's the true story.
Love that.
Of America's greatest bank hacking heist.
Awesome.
The shocking real-life tale that you probably read about in the papers this week. The astonishing yet absolutely true story of a hacker who hacks into all the top banks and steals $1 billion.
Wow.
Right? So imagine the scene. A man, a rugged yet handsome, well, let's say maybe Orlando Bloom.
I'm sensing a comeback.
Orlando Bloom sits at his computer. It's dark, midnight, a clock chimes. His face glows blue in the light of a flickering screen. You picturing it?
Got it.
He types code dash dash hyphen square bracket hyphen zero. You get the idea. He presses enter.
Nice.
More code streams down the screen.
Listening.
He types again.
Interesting.
He types again. Dash dash hyphen brackets, etc., etc.
Code. Got it.
More code fills the screen. He's done it! The bank heist is complete!
That's it?
What do you mean?
Because it feels like it needs a bit more action. A high-speed, adrenaline-filled chase, or a little bit of casual gun crime. Some more action, basically.
Well, there's more action, obviously.
Oh, good, good.
There's more to billion-dollar heist than one scene of computer hacking.
Phew. I was getting worried there, Greg.
Okay, then. Scene 2, the next night. Orlando Bloom sits at his computer. Code. More code. The thrill! The suspense! The blinking cursor! And another thrilling heist is complete!
I see, right. So, not a whole lot of actual action.
This is a true story, Eric. The thrills and spills of real life. There's a crucial Subway sandwich eating scene, and a moment where a hacker's lid nearly comes off his cherry cola, putting his keyboard in jeopardy, but luckily, it doesn't. And he could take a quick masturbation break, depending on the rating.
Huh. So no love interest? Because that could really make all the difference. A sexy blonde girl next door type who leaves him for a banker and he has to get her back. So the whole hacking the banks thing is a metaphor for the relationship? See, like that. A girl. Greg, you gotta get a girl.
Yeah, it might be a problem. This is real, true life story, right? And this guy's a hacker who spends a lot of time hacking into banks online from the privacy of his own bedroom, right? So, yeah, probably not.
No love interest then? And not a whole lot of action. Honestly, Greg, I'm not sure this is really for me.
Hold on. Great news! As long as he can have Snickers in his dressing room and nobody mentions his pointy ears in real life, Orlando Bloom is in.
Bloom? Bloom? Boom! You've got yourself a movie, Greg.
$1 Million Heist, coming soon to a theater near you.
It's time again for Passive Aggressive Theater. Great moments in film, redone for the passive aggressive. And now, our final episode, Apocalypse Now.
Are you an assassin?
I'm a soldier.
Oh, well, that's totally different. You should have said, I don't want to inconvenience the U.S. Army. Heaven forfend. Is my whole severed head collection interfering with their neo-colonial war? I would hate for that to happen.
Look, there's no reason to get angry.
Angry? I'm not angry. They send people to kill me. Do I even complain? I'm trying to fix this situation.
God, you are so... You know what? I'm just gonna do this now.
Oh... Really? A machete? How original. I'm so glad I'm gonna be killed by an artist. Ow! Okay, that didn't hurt at all. Did my arm get in the way of your blade? Or should I say, my former arm? Ow! Did I mention that I don't need my entrails? Thanks for disposing of those. Ow! Hey... I bet this would look great interspersed with footage of some native slaughtering a water buffalo. I mean, why be subtle? Ow! Ah! Horror! Horror! Not at all! No horror! I'm fine. Thank you.
This has been Passive Aggressive Theater from the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm sure you could have done it better.
I'm totally good.
Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Link. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.
Thank you.